It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game. Happy Friday to you. It's Gil Alexander right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio. Good morning to you, Jason.
Morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Jason, this is you've been here 5 months. This is the first morning I've seen you this excited. You love our first guest.
I've been a fan for a long time, honestly.
Yes. As we all have, and I'll save that here for the end of the intro here. Still to come on the show, Paul Carr to talk soccer. I should say still to come. We just started. Paul Carr with his Premier League picks later. Adam Kramer joins us for a college football autopsy and a look ahead to what he thinks Heisman-wise and championship-wise next year. He thinks the best college football team may not be Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson. He's got a thought on that.
Wow, that's big news.
Well, it's something. Vinny Maliulo to close out the show, as always, and Andy McNeil. My favorite version of Andy McNeil is appropriately salty Andy McNeil about something that's going on in hockey here in the early going. So we'll talk to Andy as well on the show. So it's packed. But what we were referring to moments ago, and that Jason is so pumped about, this gentleman used to come on the show, was kind enough to come on the show weekly about 2-3 years ago. We did it with Crackman. We did it with Evan Silva. We had a round table each and every Thursday. And then he became stratospheric, and you can only keep a good man for so long because he just has too many responsibilities. But he's kind enough to join us a few times a year to talk football with us, and this is one of those mornings. At Sharp Football is where you can find him on Twitter. It's our old friend Warren Sharp. How you doing, Warren?
I'm doing great, Gil. Definitely happy to be back. It's certainly a lot of great memories from those days. I was kicking off the network with you back several yes. years ago. That was a lot of fun. And definitely the best weekend of the year in my mind from a football perspective is always the divisional round games. So I'm really happy to break these down with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Just get it for those listening who want an update on you, sharpfootballstats.com, sharpfootballanalysis.com. I assume those are still in play. But what are your other media outlets these days? Like, where can we find you on a weekly basis? And you don't have to tell us what football teams you're working with, but is it still a thing where you're working for multiple football teams?
Yes, everything. I'm working over at NBC now, doing some video content there and some written content. And I do podcasts over at The Ringer with Bill Simmons Group. And yes, I'm actually extremely nervous about this weekend, involved with some of the teams still alive, involved with some of the teams that are not alive anymore. So some of those teams are going through changes, and that's always interesting. I work with some of the OCs that are now head coaching candidates, so that's always interesting as well. It's an interesting time, but it's a very busy time. Pretty much Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, up to like 3:45 a.m. And last night up to around like 3 a.m. working with these guys to try to come up with strategies for this upcoming week, and not just from a play calling perspective, but from a sequencing, from a strategic perspective, from a motivational perspective for their players. I mean, we're trying to figure out all avenues to try to have successful weekends here. So,
man, I couldn't be happier for you, man. It's so great to see. It's so great to hear that's going on. Before we get to your thoughts then on the divisional round, let's just do a little redux here on the whole season and this past wildcard weekend. In terms of the whole season, and I'm just sort of asking you to remember now just broadly, was there a team that flummoxed you week to week more than any other in terms of what you expected from them and what you ultimately got?
That's a tough question. I don't recall that there was one specific team. There were certainly teams that frustrated me. There are teams that I thought were going to struggle that did struggle. Like a team like the Minnesota Vikings, I was on them being an under team, or the Denver Broncos, I was on them being an under team. But in terms of a singular team, I don't know, offhand, I can't recall. I think it would have, if I had to be big picture here, it would probably be the Chargers, because I didn't expect them to do what they did, but on a week-to-week basis, it just frustrated me with their run rate, and all of a sudden it's Justin Herbert. Oh my God, this guy looks like a savior for this football team. And I just did not feel like they were using him properly. So I'm glad that the team has moved on to new coaches this offseason. We'll see what they end up going with. But that was probably the team that I was just concerned with on a week-to-week basis. Towards the end of the year is probably the Seattle Seahawks as well, from the same logic, just the offensive play calling and the decision-making that they went with.
Fine answers, both. It's Gil Alexander, Warren Sharp, right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Fubo Sling Game Plus, and of course, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, and iHeartRadio. Warren, also the creator of proprietary stats like early down success rate. We all get focused on third down conversion rates, which is also a very incomplete stat that we know in mainstream media and during games. But Warren focused on first and second downs from that perspective, and so many other things in his pro football previews and on a week-to-week basis. Last week, Warren, wild card round, what was the game that you pegged the best, and what was the one that surprised you the most?
Well, I think no doubt about it, the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game, the very last game of the day, was the game that surprised me the most. I think probably it would be a shock if anybody said that that wasn't the game with 28-0 in the end of the first quarter. That didn't surprise the most people, but I certainly didn't see that coming. I went on a major rant during that game on Twitter about the play calling from Randy Fichtner, the Steelers' former offensive coordinator, with regard to just how inconceivable it was for him to take one of the most pass-heavy teams in the NFL going up against a defense that is better against the run, worse against the pass, now without both their starting cornerbacks, and a quarterback that you yourself and Ben Roethlisberger rested week 17 to get his arm healthy, to get his legs healthy, to be able to go and enter into the postseason. And you go with a majorly run-heavy game plan in the first quarter when you haven't been able to run the ball all season long. So that was the one that I had. I just couldn't conceive how somebody could come up with that type of strategy, that type of game plan. The one that I think, I guess that I would say I pegged the best would probably be Tampa Bay over Washington. I just took the first half team total over for Tampa Bay. I knew that Washington's defense tightens up in the second half. I knew there were avenues that you could exploit in the first half. I felt like they would be able to handle the pass rush of the Washington football team better in the first half. And they were able to do that, and they obviously exceeded that point total. Now they allowed Washington back in the game, and it was really fun to watch Heinicke get things going for Washington down the stretch there. But I was in and out in the first half, so that's probably the game for me.
All right, so this weekend starts, and you say it's your favorite of all weekends. Green Bay, 6.5-point favorites against the Rams. This actually came down, Warren, through the 7, which surprised me because I have a Green Bay Ravens teaser that I really love, and I'm actually on Green Bay against the spread. I love those better than anything on Sunday. How do you feel about this game? And why, by the way, why is it your favorite weekend?
It's my favorite weekend because you have the best teams in the NFL. Usually it's 4. This year it's 2 that have been getting healthy and resting at home. They earned it. They earned the right to do that. They get re-entered into the pool of people that have been fighting for their lives. Some of these teams have been in must-win situations in week 16 and week 17. Then they won last weekend. And so these are teams on a roll, and they've been playing good football, and they're just showing desperation. And now you reintroduce the best of the best that the NFL has to offer, and we get to see them. And the NFL is making me struggle here because last weekend with the Super Wild Card weekend was a ton of fun as well. I admit, like, I was a little bit exhausted by the end of it all.
So was I.
Just dealing with all these games that were being played and getting all the hype built into each one of them. But this weekend I think is the best. And for me, this game, I mean, I don't disagree certainly that Green Bay, the class of the NFC and well-deserving of the first-round bye, especially the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing. I have not done anything on this game. But my concern is, like, what I like about Green Bay is the two best strengths of the Rams have to be on the defensive side. I mean, it's hard to say this, like, in modern NFL, but you're talking about on the defensive side of the football. Most of the time it's the offensive side. But you're talking about Aaron Donald, and you're talking about your number one cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. But Green Bay matches up pretty well with those guys. They've got Corey Linsley, the number one graded center. They've got Devontae Adams, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in yards per route run, and he's able to get off the line of scrimmage just using his legs. He doesn't use press. He doesn't put hands on you. He gets off with his legs to get that separation. Jalen Ramsey likes to muscle up with you. Like, if he goes up against a number one, sometimes those guys try to push him around, and that's what he lives for. It's going to be a difficult matchup. I also think in modern football, you can move Devontae Adams around to get him free. So I don't know that either of those guys like are going to have the impact in this game, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, as they typically would. But the key to this game, Gil, is going to be the first 10 minutes of this game, because if you're Jared Goff and you got a broken thumb and you don't really have a lot of ability to throw the ball deeper down the field, he hasn't been doing that much this season to begin with, you can't afford to get out of this game. You can't afford to have Aaron Rodgers go down and put up 10 points on you in the first 10 minutes or 13 points. You got to keep this game close. And so that's going to be on Brandon Staley, the defense coordinator for the Rams, who I've been extremely impressed with. He has been great, though, at second-half adjustments. The Rams are allowing the second fewest points scored of any offenses in the NFL in the second half of games. So his defense makes the best halftime adjustments to lower these teams down. But you're talking about the Packers, who have the number one scoring offense in the first half. So Jared Goff and the Rams offense can't afford to fall too far behind. They need to stay close to this game so they can run it at all times. That's a story actually with the Baltimore Ravens later on in this game, but later on today, but that's the biggest takeaway for me, is you got to figure out a way to keep this game close so that if you're the Rams, you can run the ball throughout the game.
And we often cite that Sean McVay stat where he's 37-0 with a lead at halftime, but you're right. Much of that should be attributed to the great defensive adjustments on that football team. Later that day, 8:15, we're talking tomorrow now, 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Pacific, Baltimore at Buffalo. Some early money on the Ravens, but we've actually seen Bills money since then. Back to 2.5 and extra juice. We may see a 3 here at some point, Warren. What are your thoughts here?
When I first looked at this Sunday night, I was very nervous for Buffalo, because I'm looking at this team and I'm like, man, they don't stop the run really well. And how will they handle this blitz? You know, they're a pass-heavy team. How will they handle this blitz? And the weather is looking like it could be rainy. And so this is all these things are favoring the Baltimore Ravens. As I started breaking down the game further, I started to come around a little bit on the side of the Buffalo Bills. Now, I'm not there all the way yet. And I tend to agree, like, you had the real sharp money early, and you also had another group buying the Buffalo Bills when it was down to 1.5. And so there's a battle here, and I would be surprised if the line goes very far from what it is right now. So I think we're going to get, you can bet Buffalo late. You can buy up to 3 with Baltimore late. I don't know that there's any rush even to get down on this game, but the key thing to me, if you're the Buffalo Bills, is you got to do 2 things. You have got to figure out a way to minimize the pressure on Josh Allen. The Baltimore Ravens have the number one heaviest blitz rate in the NFL, but Josh Allen has done really well against the blitz. But pressure rate is totally different. You can be pressured when somebody blitzes you. You can be pressured without the blitz. He's good against the blitz. But if the blitz gets through, or Baltimore doesn't blitz and they just use sim pressures and drop some guys out, and the guys that are coming weren't expected by the line, and they're getting pressure on Josh Allen, he's been terrible. He's been terrible when he's actually pressured. So you got to figure out personnel groupings to use, dropback types, route combinations that are going to minimize the pressure against Josh Allen, get the ball out of his hands quickly enough so that the pressure isn't felt. Number 2, the biggest thing for me for Buffalo is simple. If you don't have a lead at halftime, you're cooked. Try to get a lead at halftime. And that's because Lamar Jackson is 28-2 in his career as a starter when he is tied or leading at halftime. He's just 1-7 of losing at halftime by any margin. You want your Buffalo, you want Lamar and his coaches in the locker room at halftime down by 10 points saying, we got to get more dropback game in the second half. We got to use more 11 personnel, get wide receivers out here on the field. We're going to have to pass to get back in this game. That's what you want if you are the Buffalo Bills. For Baltimore, you know, you can have this diverse rushing attack. I'm worried that Tre'Davious White is going to slow down Marquise Brown on the outside. I think Mark Andrews, their tight end, is going to have a pretty big day. You're going to have to get some explosive runs on the ground, whether it's Lamar, whether it's J.K. Dobbins. And you got to use the weather to your favor. Lamar saying we're concerned about the weather, I mean, that should play into the running team's favor. So don't get worried about the weather here too much. Enjoy the weather, embrace the weather. But the last thing, Gil, on this game, I was really shocked to hear John Harbaugh suggest that last week's game was the biggest win for him, the biggest for any of his players. It was the best win of his entire coaching career. We're talking about your favorite on the road against one of the worst defenses in the NFL in Tennessee. You're right. On a short week now. You've won a Super Bowl. You've been to AFC Championships game. How is that the best win? And my worry is, if you're feeling that way and you're talking to the pulp media that way, you're definitely feeling those vibes in the locker room. Now you got to get your team up for another game in bad weather that you're already saying you don't love on a short week. That's going to be a little bit of a challenge for them mentally in that locker room.
28-2, Lamar Jackson went tied or ahead at the half. Interesting. So of those two games, what do you like the best then?
I think the nightcap game is going to be the most competitive, the most entertaining, but I really don't know what to expect there. I would lean right now a little bit towards Buffalo, but I'm checking the weather very closely because if it's windy and rainy, I mean, that team has not done very well in the weather. They played the Kansas City Chiefs. They played the New England Patriots. Both those games, they didn't look all that great. They were tight, close games. It's exactly what we could get in this one.
Yeah, right now precipitation, 20% chance at game time, but the wind, and that's what we mainly care about, sort of coming close to 15 miles per hour. 14 is what is expected right now, and that's where it could get a little dicey. Sunday, and we're talking to Warren Sharp at Sharp Football, one of the great football Twitter follows ever. It's Kansas City and Cleveland to start things off, 3:05 Eastern, 12:05 Pacific. It's 10. That's not a spread I want to mess with. I had Jeff Schwartz on yesterday on the podcast, and he may have talked me into a Kansas City team total over. How do you feel here? Cleveland at Kansas City.
Yeah, I can't really disagree too much. It'll be interesting to see how they get started in this game. Hopefully it's fast, but I think the biggest issue here, or the biggest thing I'm most interested in, because we'll talk X's and O's in a second, but it's the Browns and Kevin Stefanski, and how do they start this game from a strategic perspective? Because a lot of this is going to come down to what strategy do they end up using. If there's a lot of thought out there that they should shorten the game, run the ball a lot, keep it conservative, keep it close. They don't want to put Patrick Mahomes out on the field very much. I personally disagree with that. I want to attack these guys. Look, my offense is rolling from last week. I'm playing a Kansas City team that hasn't played its offensive starters in 3 weeks. They've had a history this season of starting off slowly in games. I want to start off aggressive, fast, aimed at building a lead, not to take my best plays out of the mix and just try to shorten the game intentionally, like coaching against my best stuff. We always talk about this on your show, Gil. Think about what that other team would want you to do and don't do it.
Yep.
What the hell do you think that Andy Reid would want the Cleveland Browns to do? Andy Reid would want the Cleveland Browns to start slow so that his offense can ease their way back into things. So don't do that. Start fast. Now, in terms of the X's and O's in this one, this big picture, we talk about strength of schedule a lot, especially in the offseason when we're leading into the season with my book and whatnot. I think this game is fascinating because you've got two teams that are really good, that like to do things that their opposing team is really bad at and yet hasn't been tested very much. So if you look, for example, at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're the number one most pass-heavy offense in the NFL. The Browns rank bottom 10 against the pass, despite playing the NFL's second easiest schedule of passing offenses this year. On the other side, the Cleveland Browns, though they've been passing a little bit more, and I think that's going to play towards the over a little bit, they do like to run. They get a lot of production out of their run. Their run sets up stuff offensively. They run the ball frequently, and the Kansas City Chiefs rank number 29 against the run, which is fourth worst, despite playing the NFL's number one easiest schedule of run offenses. So you got these defenses that have played easy schedules of offenses, and you've got other, but they're still bad at defending either the pass for the Browns or the run for the Chiefs, going up against some of the best teams in the NFL at doing those things against them. I think it's going to be a shock to both of their systems. I think both teams will ultimately be able to score points and move the ball. And the last thing on this one, Gil, if you look at the Cleveland Browns defense, the only quarterbacks over the course of the entire season, if you add up the games like from Lamar, his couple of games, et cetera, that haven't thrown for at least four touchdowns. And four touchdowns is a lot. They played 17 games. The only quarterbacks that haven't thrown for four touchdowns or play them in like a monsoon or like ridiculous winds, like the Houston game or the Las Vegas game, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, Colt McCoy, Mike Glennon, Sam Darnold, and Phillip Rivers. So those are the only guys that haven't thrown for at least four touchdowns against these guys. We saw Joe Burrow put up 30-plus points in each of his games. He played the Cleveland Browns defense week two when they were healthy, and when he was on a short week, he played Sunday, and then he had to play Thursday of week two. We were like, how's Joe Burrow going to do here? And he sliced up this Cleveland Browns defense, put up 30-plus points in both his games. Lamar put up 38-plus in both the games that he played against Cleveland. Ben Roethlisberger, 37-plus in both the games he played. The KC Chiefs might get started a little bit slow here, hopefully not for the sake of having some entertainment, but I can't look anywhere else but the over.
Do what they don't want you to do. We talk about it through the prism of betting truth serum all the time. So simple. Do what they don't want you to do. Warren, I'm running a new commercial. Can you give me four more minutes on the other side for Tampa Bay, New Orleans? And we'll get you out of here.
Sure.
My man, Warren Sharp, at Sharp Football. Coming right back. We'll talk Tampa Bay, New Orleans. If I've talked to 20 people about this game, 10 are passionate about the Bucs and 10 about the Saints. We'll see where Warren falls on this next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With the football playoffs and basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. We're at Mandalay Bay every Saturday and Sunday. Hope you'll check us out down there. And don't forget, visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly, and if you have a gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-522-4700. This tweet just now from Tom Pelissero this morning. The Seattle Seahawks interviewing Anthony Lynn for their OC. Former Chargers coach Anthony Lynn has spoken with Pete Carroll about the Seahawks offensive coordinator job. Sources tell me and Rap Sheet, that's Ian Rappaport, Lynn hasn't decided what he wants to do in 2021, but he'd be among Seattle's top choices.
How uninspiring.
Not an interview, but a conversation, and he'd be among Seattle's top choices. Warren, how about that?
Match made in heaven.
Oh, we should talk about that sometime. Yes, Pete Carroll with not his finest performance ever this past weekend, but a match made in heaven. Let it be. Let that linger. Okay, final game. It is, of course, the battle of Brady and Breeze. That's how we will have it couched all week in mainstream media. But it is the Buccaneers and the Saints. It's 3 points. It's going to stay on three up until kickoff, one would imagine. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, I mean, this looks like it's the game that everybody, I would think, in the public, once they start getting more and more involved with their weekend betting action, would want to come in on Tom Brady. If people bet quarterbacks in the NFL, they bet quarterbacks, they bet teams they like. And I don't see why anybody would be betting the Saints and Drew Brees here with his arm issues and just his overall. I mean, he broke all his ribs like a month and a half, 2 months ago. His arm's a noodle arm. And then you compare him to Tom Brady, this like canned god from Florida holding a trident. Like, I think everybody would be leaning towards betting on Tom Brady. And I mean, I think they're the most popular underdog, and the line's three. You can get 3 points with Tom Brady as an underdog this weekend. I mean, it seems almost too good to be true, and it's the last game of the week. So I could imagine a lot of people are juicing up their moneyline parlays, throwing Tom Brady in there. The last game of the weekend, you can tease them up. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can play this game. And for me, it's a very tough game. It's a very tough game. Unlike some of the other guests, I guess, I don't have super strong conviction on this game because of two reasons. Number one, I'm not really sure what the Saints defense is. You look at any offense that they have played that ranks top half of the NFL, they allowed 29 to the Lions, 27 to the Chargers, 34 to the Raiders, 24 to the Panthers, 33 to the Vikings, and 32 to the Chiefs. Those are all the average to above average offenses that they played this year. So they're allowing points to all these decent offenses, and yet Tom Brady and the Bucs haven't been able to do well against them. So what I did is I went back and looked at, you know, does a team have another team's number? Do they just match up really well against their opponent? And I did find, I'm sure some people have come on the show this week and shared, you know, a team that's, it's hard to sweep a team in the playoffs, or sorry, in the regular season even. It only happens about 55% of the time that the team that won the first game in the season wins the second game in the season. But when they do win the same game, they win the second game by a higher margin typically. And that's exactly what happened with the Saints. And that's because they tend to have this other team's number a little bit. They might just match up a little bit better, whether it's personnel or coaching, something like that. And then when they play them in the third game in the postseason, I went all the way back to 1990. I know some people have gone back before that. Some people haven't gone back quite that far. But since 1990, and what I found is that if they swept the season series, they went 13-4 in the third meeting in the playoffs. That's a 76% rate, and 5-1 if that was after the wild card round. In other words, there may be something here that the Saints just match up really well to stop what Tom Brady does and the Bucs offense. And then offensively, we know Sean Payton has gone up against Todd Bowles for now four games already. He's 4-0 in those games. He's had a lot of success offensively, moving the football against them. And that's where I'm struggling with. Like, what on the offensive side of the ball, I think the Saints are going to have success scoring. I'm not worried about that. What I don't know is how well will Tom Brady, I know the offense has looked better the last month of the season. They went to a much heavier pass attack over that stretch, but then they went back to the run. 58% of their plays on first down in the first three quarters were run plays against Washington. I don't think that's going to work against the Saints, so it's going to be an interesting battle here.
Yeah, I'm as confused as you are. It's okay to stay away sometimes from a game like this. Warren, can't thank you enough. Appreciate it. Congratulations on all your success, and on a personal level, thank you for keeping Sean Taylor alive every year. I appreciate that with a great video montage. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Have a great weekend, Gil.
You too. Enjoy the games. Warren Sharp right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll talk about the beautiful game, Premier League, with Paul Carr next.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Get ready for the 2021 hockey season with our NHL betting preview guide. Doesn't matter that it started already. You can still grab this. With over 80 pages of insights on the teams, players, and trends to watch from Andy McNeil, our VSiN hockey expert, who's going to join us later this hour. It's available now for all VSiN subscribers. Or get your copy today for only $9.99. That's $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's A Numbers Game at VSiN, where sports betting analytics live. Actionable sports betting information. Talk about analytics this hour. Warren Sharp on one side, the NFL. Andy McNeil on the other. Coming up, NHL. He's got a rant. And now the host of the Expected Value podcast inside the sports analytics world. It's our buddy Paul Carr. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, Gil. I am excited about the American football weekend, the Premier League weekend. It's snowing here outside Kansas City, So we got all the makings right now.
You know, I just was reading something before the show. This has nothing to do with anything, but it was about the exodus from San Francisco, tech exodus. And one of the places people are going, Topeka, Kansas, was listed high on the list. How about that?
They've been trying to make a push for, I mean, you know, just like any city, to get some businesses to come in. You know, it's near Kansas City, so you have a major airport, you've got the state capital, blah, blah, blah. So they're trying. Yeah, they're trying to get people in for sure.
It was like Austin, no surprise. Yeah. Miami, somewhat of a surprise. Topeka, a bit of a surprise.
One of these things, not like the other.
Yeah. All right. Expected Value podcast. We never get a chance to stop and say, who is your latest guest on that?
Yeah, we've been on kind of a hiatus over Christmas break. It was a big winter meeting stuff. push for us baseball wise. So I think our last guest was Mike Petriello from MLB.com. We got lots of great guests in the archives too, from pretty much any sport that you're interested in, from football and baseball to basketball to cricket even. So yeah, check it out.
Explain to the folks what you do with baseball for those who haven't heard, who haven't been with us forever. That's your bread and butter really, right?
It is. Yes. We have 20 MLB teams plus several media clients in baseball. And we basically take all the numbers, the analytics, and turn it into an easy to use website. And we built some metrics on top of that. So all the StatCast data, all the player tracking data, all the ball tracking data, we basically, you know, turn it into something that, you know, you and I can use easily without having to know how to code things or whatever. But we help teams with their advanced scouting, with their player analysis, player development, and all that sort of thing.
So you're with 20 of the 30 teams in baseball.
Yep.
Do you secretly look askance at the other 10 and are like, they'll never win a World Series? Ever.
A little bit, yeah. There's always some rooting interest come playoff time. Not so secretly, really. Just hoping your team wins. That's good for everybody.
Not so secretly. That's right. Yeah. All right. Premier League, not a lot of scoring lately. What's that about?
Yeah, it's crazy. So remember, we started the season super hot goals wise and didn't really think that was a thing because it seemed like some unsustainable finishing rates. But so the first 11 match days, about 3 goals a game total. The last 7 match days, basically the last month-ish, about 2.4 goals per game. So that's a pretty steep drop, and it's below your normal league average. It's usually like 2.7, 2.8. I think it's a few things. First of all, the underlying numbers aren't quite that drastic. There's a drop off, but not as big, but I think it's a lot of the schedule congestion. These teams have been playing basically 2 games a week for a month plus, and that's going to continue for the rest of the season for some of these teams, especially the top ones. And I think where you see it a little bit in the numbers is the pressure rate. So pressure is basically how often, you know, your attackers are trying to get the ball back and really attacking the defense to get it back after you've given it away, instead of just kind of sitting back and letting dribble to midfield. Basically a full court press of basketball or 3-quarter court press or whatever. Those numbers are all down. So teams are pressing a lot less than they were early in the season. And I think that just combines with tired legs, lots of games. They're dealing with, you know, COVID related stuff. Players are in and out of the lineup for COVID reasons. All that, I think, is adding up to fewer goals. So I think this is a thing right now.
Thing or not a thing, we think it's a thing. Schedule congestion. I like that phrase, Paul. All right. So do I smell a spate of betting against human achievement? Is that what's happening?
That's exactly what's happening this weekend.
Yes, love that.
I'm going to start tomorrow morning with Wolverhampton-West Brom. Let me first say, do not wake up early to watch this game. This is the earliest game.
You are not required to watch this soccer game.
I think it's 6:30 Central Time, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm taking the under 2.5 minus 145. If you want to take it under 2 at plus 125, I don't think that's bad either. But you've got 2 of the bottom 6 in the league in both goals and expected goals. West Brom's the worst team in the league by far. They have a negative 24 expected goal difference, which is 10 worse than any other team. 1 goal in the last 4 games, 6 goals in the last 14 games. They haven't scored twice in a game since September. So West Brom's not putting up more than a goal at the most. And Wolves is really a grinded out type of team. Their best scorer, Raul Jimenez, has been out for a month. So their offense has not been the same since then. So it's a rivalry game. These teams are pretty close in the Midlands of England, but it's got all the makings of like a 1-0 Wolverhampton win. Again, don't wake up early. Just take the under and wake up to a little more money in your account.
All right. Tomorrow at a little more of a more civil time, 12 Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we're going Leicester City, Southampton, under 2.5, minus 105. Southampton, only 4 goals in the last 5 games. And while the underlying numbers aren't quite that bad, there still hasn't been more than, I think, 2 expected goals in any of those games. Leicester really struggling offensively. They've had some good finishing and they've got a lot of penalties that have kind of papered over the cracks in their attack, but they haven't had more than 1.2 expected goals from open play in their last 5 games. Southampton will not have Danny Ings, not a household name kind of to your average soccer fan in the US, but he's their leading scorer this season with 7 goals. He tested positive for COVID, so they're not expected to have him. And even if he does happen to sneak in, it surely won't be at full strength. So Southampton, expect the defense to be buttoned up like it has been lately. I don't think the offense will be there, and Leicester will be very content to grind this out to a 0-0, 1-1 type of game here.
All right, so Saturday under in the Wolverhampton West Brom under 2.5. Might be juiced a little, minus 145-ish right now. Consensus Leicester City Southampton, the under 2.5, minus 105 on Saturday, tomorrow that is. It's tomorrow for the Wolves and West Hampton, and then also tomorrow, for Leicester City and Southampton, Wolverhampton West Brom earlier in the day. And then Sunday, do we have an under?
Yeah, Man City, Crystal Palace, under three, plus 110. If you want to pay the juice and take it at -3.5, I'm okay with that too. Again, we've talked about this a couple times, but City is not the high-flying team they have been. They've really locked it down defensively this year. Only 13 goals allowed in 16 games, and the expected goals and underlying numbers really match up with that. So it's not fluky. Palace, not good attacking. Haven't had more than one expected goal in any of their past five games. So City isn't scoring. Like we said, they only scored three goals once in the last seven. So all of that just adds up to this won't be pretty in the sense that City's probably going to get a goal or two and just strangle the life out of this one. You know, 2-0 type of game for City. They just won't give up much. Palace won't put up much in the attack, and City's going to be content to walk away with an easy win here.
I like it. Three bets against human achievement. Who doesn't love that? Paul, I know I did a segment yesterday because the 52 Mantle, the 1952 Mickey Mantle baseball card got sold for north of $5 million. And you and I were texting back and forth because we both have baseball card collecting backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I recommended a documentary to you. I will to all the other baseball card nerds out there since you're on. It gives me an opportunity. Jack of All Trades on Netflix told the story of a Canadian kid whose father owned the largest baseball card shop in Toronto, in Canada, actually. And it really is a lens through which to look at the demise of the baseball card industry from our youth. So if you're into that, Jack of All Trades, sir.
I'm excited to check it out if I survive all the soccer and football this weekend.
Okay. All right. You prioritize it properly. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too. Come back. Hockey with Andy McNeil. Oh, he's got something under his skin. And he's right. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three tonight. Simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN100. Start the year off right at BetMGM. Download the app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Jason, hit it.
Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan. Disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 1-800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants to help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Indiana, promotional offer not available in Nevada.
I think you have a new job.
I'm getting better, huh?
I think you have a new job. Fabulous. I sat that one out. My next guest is not only our hockey analytics expert, but has different versions, my favorite version of which is appropriately salty Andy McNeil. Ladies and gentlemen from Edmonton, Alberta, at Digital Gambler on Twitter, it's Andy McNeil. How you doing, Andy?
Oh, well, that's a great intro.
Is that salty,
cranky salty. Andy, that's another one I've gotten.
I think appropriate.
Yeah, I'm not actually a cranky guy. I'm not actually a jerk. I just I don't have time for a lot of this nonsense that we're seeing these days. I think sports betting is being ruined by people that don't bet on sports, and it's frustrating. I love this.
I love this topic.
And it's really becoming a daily thing where there's always someone that doesn't have any stake in the game trying to mess with what I do for a living. So it's frustrating. Yeah.
This has been, this annoys all of us who bet sports on a daily basis. So, I mean, you know, some days go by and nothing annoys us because it doesn't come up, but there's oftentimes situations, and rears its head in all kinds of forms. And it is annoying to us because, and you'll tell me if you have a different spin on it. It's in our DNA, right? Like, we live for this stuff. We have immersed our lives in this so much, maybe even in an unhealthy way, but like, we're all about this. It's kind of innate to us. And when we see an industry that just got legalized a couple years ago, and so people feel like, you know, if they're just in sports and not sports betting, they sort of feel like they can just creep on over and be expert immediately. And for you know, listen, that I'm sure it's not just this industry where that happens, but we get particularly annoyed by it just because, I guess, the true passion and depth that we've had in this. Is that a sort of accurate, broad statement about it?
Yeah, that sums it up perfectly. I think, if people want to pick games and have a little fun, and then that's what we should all be doing, that's great. But I mean, I really don't want to, you know, have a lesson in the integrity of the sport or anything from a gambling perspective from somebody who probably doesn't know the difference between a 20-cent line and a 10-cent line. And if they do, worse, they're probably recommending that people bet into the 20-cent line. I mean, it's these are, you know, there are far more important things that we should be advocating for. We should be, you know, trying to, I'm all about the player. The sports books don't need our help. They have all the advantages already. They take a commission. I'm not somebody that's out every day advocating for players or anything, but like I come from Canada, and you probably tell by the accent, and sports bettors in the United States, they would think that they were living in a dystopian society, the way that things run up here, and it's a reminder of what can happen if you know, you let certain things become the norm. We have ridiculous margins up here. We can only parlay games a minimum of 2-point spreads, three otherwise. It's a three-game parlay, a point spread parlay pays 6-1 in Vegas. It pays 4-1 here. And people accept it because they don't know any better, and they're told that, oh, it's okay because the money goes to charity afterwards. It goes back into the community. Nobody cares about the players, right? And especially people that don't bet, they don't care about the players either. So it is frustrating because I feel like we're heading towards a market where the skill is reduced. And that's another thing. The paradox of skill is really important here. And the paradox of skill is as people become better at a certain activity, the difference between the best and the average and the best and the worst becomes narrower, right? And, if we were to release starting goaltenders at every day at the same time and give bookmakers that information, realistically, they could take their line down, make some adjustments, put it back up a few minutes later. Are reducing the skill, and we are increasing the chances that wins and losses are nothing but a product of luck.
Let me take a step back, because people are wondering, like, hey, where are these? What precipitated this? What sparked this? So this is what sparked this. And you can pronounce this gentleman's name. Is this Wyshynski?
I can't.
Oh, you can't.
Something
okay.
Like that.
All right. It's Dom Luschicek is how you pronounce this. Greg Wyshynski, I believe, it says it's absolutely insane that the NHL would actively promote sports wagering as a way to increase its popularity while at the same time allowing something like this. And you're talking about, and your response, why are you outraged? You do realize that announcing starting goaltenders at a set time every day would help the bookmaker, not the better, right? Sports betting is going to be ruined by people that don't bet. It's already well underway. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to point out that this is what precipitated this, and this is what sort of got your goat.
Yes, it's all stems from Pete DeBoer not saying that he's not going to be announcing his starting goaltenders for the Vegas Golden Knights this season. We had DJ Smith, the Ottawa Senators head coach, come out today and said that he isn't going to do that either. And sure, it's frustrating, but I do not want the alternative. I don't think that that's going to help anybody. It's going to help the bookmaker. It's already tough enough to beat the market as it is. If you give them the information the same time that we get it, it's going to be even tougher. Besides, it's one advantage that we have as bettors is that we don't have to place a wager, right? The bookmaker, they don't have to put up a line, but they are going to put up a line regardless of whether they have all the information or not. We don't have to place a bet. And, you know, as long as people remember that, you're okay. You don't have to bet on a team if the goaltender's not confirmed. You can make an assumption. You can anticipate something. And that's what I do a lot of. And that's where I get a lot of my edge. And it's frustrating to think that could all be disappearing in the near future. Right?
Here's the other one, Andy, from yesterday. This is Thomas Dranson. We've heard this kind of thing lots over time. Lack of information, he says, in any marketplace increases the possibility of and the stakes for insider trading. And you very quickly and appropriately, you said there's not a single NHL insider or beat writer on this planet that would be able to generate enough quote unquote valuable information at a consistent enough rate to make money feeding it to anyone, nor would they have the slightest clue how to do so in the first place. This is insane. And it is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, It's nuts. It's like, I mean, first of all, the markets in hockey are nothing like what we see in other sports. And I don't think that's a very much a problem in other sports to begin with. You have to be able to determine whether the information you have is valuable, and the person that you're giving the information to has to be able to determine that it's valuable, or whether or not it's been already, you know, priced into the line. So, I mean, it's I don't know. These betting groups that people are talking about, they're not ringing the phones of the beat writers. They're ringing the phones of people like myself that know how to make a number and know how to do something with the information that comes out on a daily basis.
Yeah, I hope people take that in its proper spirit. We just get annoyed when, you know, we wouldn't, if opera got legalized, we wouldn't talk. We wouldn't get ahead of our skis on that, right? So, like, on this stuff, we would just appreciate the same thing when it comes to sports betting. On a lighter note, Andy, here's a great tweet. Steven Stamkos, after a one-goal, two-assist performance in the Lightning opener, you said Steven Stamkos was talking about his child, happy to see the cup, and you said, "I will call you daddy if you bring home the Hart Trophy," 66-1 at the end of the year. So that's awesome. He's on pace, baby. He's on pace to do it. After one,
I'm gonna
game.
Go try and I get saw him at 25-1.
What was that? You got what?
I'm gonna go try and get him at 25-1.
Still available at 25-1. All right, there you go. Andy,
yeah, and I just
go ahead.
I just want to say, like, the beat writers, the insiders, they're very important to what we do as sports bettors. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without it, or at least it would be very very hard to do. And then they're very valuable to this industry. And I'm not trying to offend anybody or anything like that. I think everybody does a great job, and there's some really great journalists out there and great broadcasters. This is our world, and we care a lot about it, and we care about the players, we care about the people getting a fair shake, and people having a chance to win. And I think that's the biggest thing. I don't think anybody should be looking to make this easier. Anything worth having is worth working hard for, right? So
that's right. Absolutely. Good job on the Carolina under yesterday. I'm putting you on the spot because I don't know if there is a pick at all, but we have 60 seconds here. Is there a pick that you have today on anything?
Not at the moment. No, I'm waiting for an edge to reveal itself. Hopefully, whether that's because of a surprise starter. We don't quite know who's going to go in the Washington Capitals net tonight. They had somebody backing up Ilya Samsonov in last night's game, who I can't even pronounce their name yet. So that's where we're at with the Washington backup.
All right.
I'm monitoring things and hoping that something reveals itself, but it's not looking great right now.
The living embodiment of what we just talked about. You do not have to bet. That is our biggest advantage as sports bettors. We don't have to bet anything. They eventually will put a lineup for everything, but we don't have to bet anything on that. Andy, that's our finest segment ever. You know why? Because that was the most authentic of them all. That was our true feelings. So I appreciate you coming on short notice, but you had passed those along to me. I'm like, hey, let's talk about that. All right. If there's a pick, later, you'll let everybody know, perhaps via your Twitter, perhaps not. But certainly you'll come on next week and we'll have picks, I'm sure. All right.
All right. Talk to you later, Gil.
My man, Andy McNeil, at Digital Gambler. And, of course, the author of our 2021 NHL Betting Guide. Still available and still highly valuable. Just because we're a few games into the season doesn't mean you can't use to your profit advantage. Couldn't agree with anything he said ever more than what he just said there. Daily. And it's not just with Andy, but like in our back text and stuff. The things that annoy us. It's not just in sports and sports betting. It's in all walks of life. But he's right. We're passionate about it. Not trying to offend anybody. Just want to make our point there. Coming back, college football, Adam Kramer, a look to next year. He don't think Alabama, Ohio State, or Clemson is going to be the best team. We'll let you know which he does. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.